today, Krishna allowing. And this one completes the Sambandha Avideya Prayojana Tattva that Śrīla Kṛṣṇadas Kaviraj Goswami Maharaj and Chaitanya Charitamrita has divided these three verses into the categories that he's divided them into. We've already discussed Sambandha Gyan, which was, in the words of the Bhagavatam, Gyan Vigyan, knowledge and realization. And yesterday we discussed the third topic, or prayojana, or prem, love for Krishna. So by knowledge about Krishna and realization of that knowledge, we realize who Krishna is. We realize that He, Krishna Stu Bhagavan Swayam, that He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is all powerful. He exists. His energy is all that exists, and yet He Himself exists separately in the spiritual world, Goloka Vrindavan or Vaikuntha. We understand also with that Sambandha Gyan, or the knowledge, Sambandha means relationship, how everything has relationship with Krishna. We understand that we also have a relationship with Krishna, as does the material world. The material world is Krishna's energy, and it should be used in Krishna's service by ourselves, who are also Krishna's energy. We are Krishna's tatastha shakti, or marginal energy. We are independent. We are paravati, para. We are the Krishna's superior conscious energy, but we are independent individuals. So this is all Sambandha, Sambandha Gyan, knowledge of the relationship of everything with Krishna. And when one realizes this, or rather to the extent one realizes this, one engages in devotional service. And by the engagement in devotional service, one attains the goal of prema bhakti, where, because of the person's love for Krishna, at every moment he sees Krishna outside and inside. Practically speaking, such a person, as we heard yesterday, who loves Krishna, has captured Krishna in his heart. Captured in his heart in the sense that Krishna, due to the love of the devotee, is so attracted to the devotee that he will not leave Krishna's heart. Or the devotee's heart. Krishna will not leave his heart. Premandina charita bhakti vilochanena santasya daiva vidaye subalokayanti yam shama sundaram achintya guna sarupam govindam aripurusham tamaham bhajami. When one's eyes are smeared with the salve of love, he sees Krishna in everything. Stavaram jagamam deki na deki taramurti savatra traya haya nija ishta deva smurti. He sees everything outside, like we heard the example of the gopis who are talking to the plants. They loved Krishna so much, all they could think of was Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. So everywhere they looked, they only saw Krishna. And inside, due to their deep meditation on Krishna, and the deepest separation, feeling for Krishna, they also saw Krishna, because Krishna manifests within their hearts and displayed His transcendental pastime. So that is prayojan, or the real necessity, or the goal of Krishna consciousness, the goal of understanding Sambandha, our knowledge of our relationship with Krishna. The goal is this prayojan, this prema bhakti, rati, priti, great affection for Krishna. So then in this verse, so that was the topic of the first three verses, and this fourth verse, describes the process that one achieves the goal. So, this is the purport that Prabhupada gives to this verse is one of the longest in the entire Bhagavatam. So here is the verse. Etavare vigyasyam tatva vigyasanatmana anvaya vyatirekavyam yachyatsavatra savada etavare vigyasyam tatva gigyasanatmana anvaya vyatirekavyam yachyatsavatra savada. So, I'll read the Prabhupada's translation here. A person who is searching after the Supreme Absolute Truth, the Personality of Godhead, most certainly search for it up to this. In all circumstances, in all space and time, and both directly and indirectly. So, the point here is, a person who is searching after the Absolute Truth, a person who is searching, the conclusion of the search, a person who is looking for anything actually, the conclusion of what he is looking for, even if he's looking for the wrong thing. What do people usually look for? Okay, sense gratification. So, one is looking for sense gratification, but the perfection of that search will take him to Krishna. Because by satisfying Krishna's senses, Rishikesha Sevanam Bhakti Uchite, by satisfying Krishna's senses, our senses become satisfied. What's another thing people look for? I know what the little babies look for. What do the little babies look for? They look for their mommy. They look for their mummy in Australia. They look for their, right? So they're looking for their mummy. And Krishna, Krishna Mata, Krishna Pita, Krishna Pranadan. Krishna is the ultimate mother of everyone. He's the one maintaining and taking care of everyone. They're looking for love. But we are looking, as we'll hear in one of Prabhupada's purports, we are looking for Krishna, but indirectly. This is this anvayad vyatirak. Directly and indirectly, we are looking for Krishna. But the conclusion, if we are looking indirectly, the goal will not be manifest to us, because the goal of everyone's search, people are looking for wealth. Krishna is pranadan, the actual wealth of one's life. Love, sense gratification, fame, anything. The conclusion of it all is to find Krishna. What to speak of someone is looking for the absolute truth? The conclusion is to find Krishna. So, etavad eva gigyasam, up to this. Etavad means up to this point that we have discussed in the last verse, this prema bhakti. Up to the point of prema bhakti, love for Krishna, this is actually the ultimate conclusion of everyone's search. Because at this point in prema bhakti, the soul, us, combines with Krishna. Not that we lose our individuality and we merge with him. No, but then we meet our completion in our relationship with Krishna. So up to this point of prema bhakti, prayojan, eva, jigyasa is to be inquired. So we should keep inquiring until we reach this point, tadva, this point of understanding the absolute truth, jigyasuna, the student, atmana, of the self. He should inquire, keep on inquiring until he reaches this point. A little bit down. So how should he inquire? And who should inquire? Anvaya vyatirekabhyam. Directly or indirectly. And we'll understand gradually the meanings of those, because there are many meanings of how to inquire directly and indirectly. Yatsyat sarvatra savada. In all places, at all circumstances, at all times, everyone should be just focused on this inquiry to achieve this prema bhakti, how to achieve this. This is the, and that, and this is the definition of practicing sadhan bhakti, the practices of devotional service that will bring us to this point of prema bhakti. So Prabhupada explains in the purport to this verse, and we won't read the whole verse, we'll summarize parts and we'll read parts of the purport. Nitya siddhasya bhavasya pakatta middhi sadhyata kriti sadhya bhavetsa sadhanadebi nitya siddhasya bhavasya pakatta middhi sadhyata kriti bhavet sadhanadebi. That the result of practicing all the sadhana, all the practices, is the sadhya, or the goal is bhava, or love for Krishna, which is manifest in the heart. Shravanandi sudha chitti koribe udai. It is manifest in the heart by the process of hearing and chanting and otherwise engaging in devotional service. So we'll summarize some here. First, Prabhupada practically in the purport goes over the verse line by line. So first he wants to explain that a person who is searching after the Absolute Truth, he must search up to the Absolute Truth, up to this point of prema bhakti. Even if one is a Vedantist, an impersonalist, or a yogi, a paramatmavadi, but one should come, the ultimate conclusion is come to the point of Bhagawan, understanding Bhagawan and our relationship with Krishna. So a person, every person at all times and at all spaces should be inquiring until this point, until he achieves this point, love for Krishna, because this is the goal. Now, starting in the second paragraph. The Vedanta Sutra philosophy begins with this inquiry about life. What is that verse? Tato brahma jigyasa. That now, having attained this human form of life, we should be inquiring about the Absolute Truth. And the Bhagavatam answers such inquiries up to this point, or the mystery of all inquiries. So what is the mystery? The rahasya is prema bhakti. That is the goal. Lord Brahma wanted to be perfectly educated by the personality of Godhead. And here is the answer by the Lord, finished in four nutshell verses, because Brahma asked about the science of God. So in these four verses, from Aham Eva to this verse, Etaraveva Gigyasyo Sam, this is the end of all self-realization processes. Men do not know that the ultimate goal of life is Vishnu. Nate Vidur Svatagatim Hi Vishnu. Men do not know that the ultimate goal of life is Vishnu, or the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Why don't they know? Due to being bewildered by the glaring reflection in darkness, in the darkness. So we heard about that in the second verse. And as such, everyone is entering into the darkest region of material existence, driven by the uncontrolled senses, andanti gaubhya vishatatamizram. The whole material existence has sprung up because of sense gratification, desires based principally on the sex desire. And the result is that in spite of all advancement of knowledge, the final goal of all the activities of the living entities is sense gratification. But here is the real goal of life. So people don't know what the goal of life actually is, what they're supposed to be inquiring about. We hear, you open the door, any time of the day or night, you'll hear some animal making some noise, asking questions. The birds start early in the morning and they end late at night. The crickets. And what is the extent of their questioning? It is only about sense gratification. As Prabhupada once said, what is the bird when he's tweeting? When he's making his bird noise, what is he asking? Where is worm? Where is worm? Just looking for something to eat. So the purpose of the inquiries is only sense gratification, but the real purpose of inquiry is up to this point, understanding prema bhakti. So here is the real goal of life, and everyone should know it by inquiries put before a bona fide spiritual master in the expert in the science of bhakti yoga, or from a living personality of Bhagavatam life. Everyone is engaged in various kinds of scriptural inquiries, but the Srimad Bhagavatam gives answers to all the various students of self-realization. What is that answer that the Bhagavatam gives? People are inquiring, how can I realize, how can I realize, what should I do, what is the goal? So the Bhagavatam answers, this ultimate objective of life is not to be searched out without great labor or perseverance. One who is imbued, filled with such serious inquiries, must ask the bona fide spiritual master in the disciplic succession from Bhamaji. And that is the direction given here. So here is the first direction, that if one wants to inquire, first of all, one shouldn't just inquire about sense gratification. One should inquire about the absolute truth. And who should one inquire from? And the answer is that one must search out a spiritual master in the line of Lord Brahma, in Guru Parampara, and ask him. That is the direction given here, that one must inquire from a spiritual master. Because if you inquire, it says to inquire, then the question is obvious, who should I inquire from? And the answer is a bona fide spiritual master. Because the mystery was disclosed before Brahmaji by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the mystery of all such inquiries regarding self-realization must be put before such a spiritual master who is directly the representative of the Lord acknowledged in the disciplic succession. So the first part of the process of inquiry is to accept the shelter of a spiritual master. So Prabhupada explains that. Why? It's because the spiritual master, he knows the purport, the conclusion of the scriptures. And how does he know that? Because he has heard from his spiritual master. And then Prabhupada, on the next page, gives an example. He says that although there are so many people who are studying scriptures, still, because most of those people haven't heard from a bona fide spiritual master, even if they study the Bhagavad Gita, they will come to the wrong conclusion. I remember the first Bhagavad Gita I read. It was explaining how Krishna was God. And of course it was impersonal, it was the universal form was God. But the person who translated this Bhagavad Gita didn't have any idea of who Krishna was. And myself, who read that Bhagavad Gita after reading it, also didn't have any idea of who Krishna was. Because I heard it from someone who hadn't heard it in disciplic succession, so the conclusion of Krishna consciousness, of prema bhakti, was not transferred. So therefore, one must hear the scriptures from someone in the disciplic succession, otherwise the truth will be distorted. So then, after explaining that, Prabhupada explains directly, if we look to the scriptures, Bhagavad Gita, we will hear how Krishna himself explains that he is the controller, the Supreme Lord, and that one should surrender to him. And Prabhupada quotes, Ishvara Savabhutanam Vidvishe Arjuna Tishtati Brahmayan Savabhutani Yantra Vidane Maya. The Krishna is in everyone's heart. It is he who is directing everything. And then, Manmana Bhava Madbhakto Madhyaji Mam Namaskuru, one should surrender unto Krishna. Right from the Bhagavad Gita, direct. So directly says that. So here's the first meaning of direct that Prabhupada will give. It directly says we should search directly in the scriptures by hearing from a bona fide spiritual master. And then, indirectly, how does one search for the absolute truth? Because part of this is anvayav yatirek, means directly and indirectly one should search. So directly through the scriptures, and indirectly, Prabhupada explains, through vanashrama, through the society being organized in such a way that people do their work, but the conclusion of that is they will make advancement in Krishna consciousness. So that is the first definition of direct and indirect. Then, the question becomes raised, since this is so direct or indirect, this is the purpose of all searches and inquiry. Why in today's society does no one understand this? No one is searching in this way. Everyone is searching just simply in the realm of Maya. So Prabhupada explains that people are basically, they are called duskriti, impious souls. Namam duskriti no mudha apadyante narayana. They will never surrender to Krishna because they have no piety. And they are caught. Even the most intelligent personalities, their intelligence is nullified by the material energy. And therefore the result is, rather than finding the absolute truth and peace and happiness, they just stay within the realm of Maya and remain like cats and dogs. Then, why should we not maintain, why should we not limit our inquiries to sense gratification? Why should we try to get out of the material world? And the answer is given, is that as long as we keep our mind on sense enjoyment, the result will be adishta manastayam visha upasevate yam yam vapi smaram bhavam tyajanyante kalevram, that we will take so many bodies within the material world. We will take dog bodies and cat bodies, because whatever the mind, whatever ideas the mind generates for material happiness, that will cause us to take a body within the material world. And therefore, because no one wants to stay in the material world, because no one wants that, because it means suffering, it means death, it means disease, it means unavoidable miseries, we should get out. And therefore the conclusion is, the process to get out, going back to the conclusion, is that in all circumstances, sarvatra sarvada, in all circumstances, one should perform bhakti. So if you have the book, it's on page 559, we'll just read a little bit and then continue. Srila Jiva Goswami, Prabhupada, therefore comments on the word sarvatra sarvada in the sense that the principles of bhakti yoga, or devotional service to the Lord, are apt, applicable in all circumstances. I.e., bhakti yoga is recommended in all the revealed scriptures. It is performed by all authorities. It is important in all places. It is useful in all causes and effects, etc. And then, one by one, Prabhupada, probably quoting Jiva Goswami's quotation here, following the footsteps of Jiva Goswami, he gives quotations from the Shastras to prove that regardless of what situation one is in, no matter where one is, in all places, whatever cause you, whatever effect you want, whatever theory you believe in, you should still perform bhakti. Because again, this verse is explaining the sadhana to achieve prema. The practice is to achieve prema. And the line of this verse that this is explanation of is this sarvatra, yatsyat sarvatra sarvada. At all time, all circumstances, regardless of what one's situation is, one should practice bhakti. So the first quotations are saying just this. In the material world, samsaresmin mahaghore jamya mrityu samakule pujanam vasudevasya tarakam vadibhismitam. In the material world, which is full of darkness and dangers, combined with birth and death, this is the definition of the material world, and full of anxieties, the only way to get out of the great entanglement is to accept loving transcendental devotional service to Lord Vasudeva. This is accepted by all classes of philosophers. So this is the way out. So one after another, there are scriptural quotations. So only the next one describes Alodya Sarva Shastrani and all the scriptures. It describes, ultimately, the description is that only Krishna should be worshipped. And then the next one. Even if one has gone through the entirety of the Vedas, if one doesn't come to the conclusion that he should become a devotee of Krishna, he's considered the lowest of mankind. And if you just worship Krishna, yas yasya bhaktir bhagavata kinchana, then you'll attain all good qualities automatically. And then, if one goes through all the Vedas, this is showing that all the authorities, all the scriptures, ultimately bring one to the point of Krishna, of serving Krishna. The next verse describes that if you go through all the Vedas, all the transcendental literatures, but if you fail to get acquainted with the Supreme, your education is like the burden of a beast, or like one's keeping a cow who has no milking capacity. And who, now moving on, who can perform bhakti? Since it's the highest thing, is it only for the most qualified people? No. Navai vedanti atittaranti chadeva mayam. The lowest of human beings even can be elevated to the highest stage of devotional life if they are trained by a bona fide spiritual master who is well versed in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. And if the lowest can be elevated in that way, the highest can also be elevated. And not only the lowest human beings can be elevated, but this verse from the Garuda Purana, Kita pakshi mriganam cha haro sanyasta chetasam udvam eva gatim manye kim punar janinam rinam. Even the worms, birds, and beasts. Worms, birds, and beasts are assured of elevation to the highest perfection of life if they are completely surrendered to the transcendental loving service of the Lord. So what to speak of the philosophers amongst the human beings? So therefore, there is no disqualification even for taking up bhakti. So Prabhupada explains, let them either be well behaved or ill-trained, let them be either learned or fools, let them be either grossly attached or in the renounced order of life. Let them be liberated or desirous of salvation. Let them be inexpert in the discharge of devotional service or expert in the same. All of them can be elevated to the supreme position by discharging devotional service under the proper guidance. Apichet sivaratro bhajate mamananyabhag. Now, what happens if one is too impure? If someone thinks, oh, I'm so impure and so fallen that I can't perform bhakti. Even if a person is fully addicted to all sorts of sinful acts, if he happens to be engaged in the loving transcendental service of the Lord under proper guidance, he is to be considered the most perfect holy man without a doubt. And thus any person, whosoever, whatsoever and whosoever he or she may be, even the fallen women, the less intelligent laborer, the dull mercantile man, or even a man lower than all these, can attain the highest perfection of life by going back home, back to Godhead, provided he or she takes shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord in all earnestness. What does in all earnestness mean? With full sincerity. This sincere earnestness is the only qualification that can lead one to the highest perfectional stage of life. And unless and until such real earnestness is aroused, there's a difference between cleanliness or uncleanliness, learning or non-learning in the material estimation. Fire is always fire. And thus, if someone touches the fire, knowingly or unknowingly, the fire will act in its own way without discrimination. The principle is, Hare Harati Papani Vishta Chater Api Smita. The all-powerful Lord can purify the devotee of all sinful reactions, just as the sun can sterilize all sorts of infections by its powerful rays. So this, up to this point, the invocation, the verse is invoking within everyone that we should perform bhakti yoga, regardless of anything else, where we are, who we are, what our qualification or disqualification is, we should perform bhakti yoga. Attraction for material enjoyment cannot act on a pure devotee of the Lord. There are hundreds and thousands of aphorisms in the revealed scriptures. Atmaramas cha munayo. Even the self-realized souls are also attracted by the transcendental loving service of the Lord. So it means if you're self-realized, you should also perform bhakti. Kechit kevalaya bhakta vasudeva parayana. Simply by hearing and chanting, one becomes a great devotee of Lord Vasudeva. Natchalati bhagavat padaravindal lavanamisardam apisa vaishnavagaragrai. A person who does not move from the lotus feet of the Lord, even for a moment or a second, is to be considered the greatest of all Vaishnavas. Bhagavat parshadatam prapte matsevaya patitam te. The pure devotees are convinced of attaining the association of the personality of Godhead, and thus they are always engaged in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. So these were just some quotations to prove the point. Therefore, in all continents, in all planets, in all universes, even if we say, well, I'm not from this planet, still we should perform devotional service. Even if we say, I'm from a different universe, devotional service to the Lord or bhakti yoga is current. And that is the statement of Srimad Bhagavatam and allied scriptures. Everywhere, that's savatra savada, every place. Everywhere means in all parts of the creation of the Lord. The Lord can be served by the senses or even simply by the mind. There is no limitation even. The South Indian Brahmana, who served the Lord simply on the strength of his mind, also factually realized the Lord. That story is told in the Nectar Devotion. Success is guaranteed for a devotee who fully engages any one of his senses in the mode of devotional service. So here now, starting to move into how to perform bhakti yoga. Now first we heard that bhakti yoga was the ultimate inquiry, or prema bhakti. One should inquire, one should push his search for the absolute truth to the point of prema bhakti. And bhakti yoga is the process of attaining that prema bhakti. Then the next question is, well, what is the qualification and who should perform it? So we've just heard how every person in every circumstance, in every place, should perform bhakti yoga. Now, how to perform bhakti yoga? With your senses or your mind? The Lord can be served by any ingredient, even the most common commodity of flour, a leaf, a fruit, or a little water, which are available in any part of the universe and without cost. And thus the Lord is served universally by the universal entities. He can be served simply by hearing. He can be served by chanting, simply by chanting or reading about his activities. He can be served simply by adoring him and accepting him. In the Bhagavad Gita, it is stated that one can serve the Lord by offering the results of one's work. It does not matter what one does. Generally, men may say that whatever they are doing is inspired by God, but that is not all. One should actually work on behalf of God as a servant of God. The Lord says in the Bhagavad Gita, Yat karosi rashnasi, yat jahosi vidatiyat, yat tapasyasi kanteya, tat kuruspa madarpanam. Do whatever you like, or whatever may be easier for you. Eat whatever you may eat, sacrifice what you can sacrifice, give whatever you may give in charity, and do whatever you may undertake in penance, but everything must be done for Him only. If you do business, if you accept some employment, do so on behalf of the Lord. Whatever you may eat, you may offer the same to the Lord and be assured that He will return the food after eating it. So don't even worry, if I give everything to Krishna, all my food to Krishna, what will I eat? No, He will return the food. Don't worry. After He eats it, He will give it to you. He is the complete whole, and therefore whatever He may eat as offered by the devotee is accepted because of the devotee's love. But again, it is returned as prasad for the devotee so he can be happy by eating. In other words, be a servant of God and live peacefully in that consciousness, ultimately returning home back to Godhead. So then there's some more verses about all times, at all times and all places, describing how at all times and all places, and then there's the last verse on this point is that Kritiya Dhyayato Vishnum Treityam Yajato Makai Dvapare Paricharajayam Kalo Tad Dhari Kirtanad. That one should always engage, regardless of the different, or Kali Yuga especially, one should engage in chanting the Lord's name and worship Him in that way. Even at the annihilation of the universe, one could perform bhakti. That was the verse I was looking for. And then, moving on in the purport, that there is no place, there is no stage in one's life that one should not worship. So again, this is sarvatra sarvada, in all times, all places, all circumstances, one should perform bhakti. If even for a moment remembrance of Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is missed, that is the greatest loss, that is the greatest illusion, and that is the greatest anomaly. The Lord can be worshipped in all stages of life. For instance, even in the wombs of their mothers, Maharaj Prahlad and Maharaj Prithik worshipped the Lord. Even in his very childhood, at the age of only 5 years, Dhruva Maharaj worshipped the Lord. Even in full youth, Maharaj Ambarish worshipped the Lord. And even at the last stage of his frustration in old age, Maharaj Dhritarashtra worshipped the Lord. Ajamil worshipped the Lord even at the point of death. And Chitraketu worshipped the Lord even in heaven and in hell. In the Nisringa Purana, it is said that hellish inhabitants began to chant the holy name of the Lord. And as they did so, they began to be elevated from hell to heaven. Devasa Muni has also supported this view. Muchete yan namami udete narako pi. Simply by chanting the holy name of the Lord, the inhabitants of hell became released from their hellish persecution. So the conclusion of Srimad Bhagavatam, as given by Sukadeva Goswami to Maharaj Prakrit, is Itanavidyamananam itsitam akuto vayam yoginam ripanirnitam harirnama anukirtanam. O King, it is finally decided that everyone, namely those in the renounced order of life, the mystics, the enjoyers of fruit of work, everyone should chant the holy name of the Lord fearlessly to achieve the desired success in their pursuits. And then Prabhupada gives some other examples of indirect instructions how you should worship the Lord. And an example of those is, even if a place is more glorious than heaven, if there is no glorification of the Lord of Vaikuntha or his pure devotee, should be at once be quitted. So that's an indirect way of saying that everyone should worship the Lord. So the final conclusion, so what is the conclusion of all this? All times, all places, one should worship. And this is the highest, the end of all inquiry. And one should perform bhakti in all times, in all places. So here's the conclusion, the final conclusion. Is that the glories of the Lord must be always and everywhere proclaimed. One should hear about His glories, one should chant about His glories, and one should always remember His glories, because that is the highest perfectional stage of life. As far as fruit of work is concerned, it is limited to an enjoyable body. As far as yoga is concerned, it is limited to the acquirement of mystic power. As far as empiric philosophy is concerned, it is limited to the attainment of transcendental knowledge. And as far as transcendental knowledge is concerned, it is limited to the attainment of salvation. Even if they are adopted, there is every chance of discrepancy in discharging the particular type of functions. But adoption of the transcendental devotional service of the Lord has no limit, nor is there fear of falling down. The process automatically reaches the final stage by the grace of the Lord. In the preliminary stage of devotional service, there is an apparent requisite for knowledge, but in the higher stage, there is no necessity of such knowledge. The best and guaranteed path of progress is therefore engagement in bhakti yoga, pure devotional service. So that is the fourth verse of this Chatursloka, that engage in bhakti and one will attain that highest point of prema bhakti, and that is the prayojana. In his commentary on the same verse in from Adi Lila, we've been reading parts of the comments on each of the verses. Here's what Prabhupada said, and he explains a different meaning of the direct and indirect. Very interesting. So we heard direct and indirect. One should look at the direct shastric injunctions and understand in that way. What was the indirect after that? Does anyone remember? Vanashrama. And here's there'll be other ones in here. This is a very interesting direct and indirect. One should try to purchase a ticket to go back home, back to Godhead. The price of such a ticket is one's intense desire for it, which is not easily awakened, even if one continuously performs pious activities for thousands of lives. All mundane relationships are sure to be broken in the course of time. But once one establishes a relationship with the personality of Godhead in a particular rasa, it is never to be broken, even after the annihilation of the material world. One should understand through the transparent medium of the spiritual master that the Supreme Lord exists everywhere in his transcendental spiritual nature, and that the living entity's relationship with the Lord are directly and indirectly existing everywhere, even in this material world. In the spiritual world, there are five kinds of relationships with the Supreme Lord: Shanta, Dasya, Sakya, Vatsala, Madhurja. The perverted reflection of these rasas are found in the material world. So the indirect, everyone has a direct relationship with Krishna, but the indirect, everyone in the material world is looking for Krishna and looking for the love that exists in relationship to Krishna, but looking indirectly towards material relationships. So if we examine the nature of the material world, that is vyatirek, the indirect way of approaching Krishna, because we will see that people are actually looking for Krishna. Land, home, furniture, and other inert material objects are related in shanta, or the neutral and silent sense, whereas servants work in the dasya relationship. The reciprocation between friends is called sakya. The affection of a parent for a child is known as vatsalya. And the affairs of conjugal love constitute madhurya. These five relationships in the material world. Guidance of a bona fide spiritual master. In the material world, the perverted rasas bring frustration. If these rasas are reestablished with Lord Krishna, the result is eternal blissful life. From this and the preceding three verses of Chaitanya Charitamrita, which have been selected from the Srimad Bhagavatam, the missionary activities of Lord Chaitanya can be understood. Srimad Bhagavatam has 18,000 verses, which are summarized in the four verses beginning with Aham Eva Sam Eva Grey and concluding with Yat Shat Savatra Savada. In the first of these verses, the transcendental nature of Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is explained. The second verse further explains that the Lord is detached from the workings of the material energy Maya. The living entities, as parts and parcels of Lord Krishna, are prone to be controlled by the external energy, because although they are spiritual in the material world, they are encased in bodies of material energy. The eternal relationship of the living entities with the Supreme Lord is explained in that verse. The next verse instructs that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, by His inconceivable energies, is simultaneously one with and different from the living entities and the material energy. This knowledge is called the Chintya Veda Veda Tattva. When an individual living entity surrenders to Lord Krishna, he can then develop natural transcendental love for the Supreme Lord. This surrendering process should be the primary concern of a human being. In the next verse, it is said that a conditioned soul must ultimately approach a bona fide spiritual master and try to understand perfectly the material and spiritual worlds and his own existential position. Here the word anvya vyatireka bhyam directly and indirectly suggests, here's another meaning of directly and indirectly, that one must learn the process of devotional service in its two aspects. One must directly execute the process of devotional service and indirectly avoid the impediments to progress. So that is called yam niyam, or the rules and regulations. The rules are what you should do, and the regulations are what you should avoid. Yam niyam. Anvayo vyatirek also. And then Krishnadas Kaviraj in Madhya Lila, when describing these verses to Prakasananda Saraswati, he says about this verse, or Mahaprabhu says rather, Now please hear from me about the process of devotional service. This is Abhideya Sadhana Bhaktiya Suniha Vichar Sarva Jan Desha Kala Dasate Vyaptiya. Now please hear from me about the process of devotional service, which is applicable in any country, for any person, at all times, and in all circumstances. As far as religious principles are concerned, there is a consideration of the person, the country, the time, and the circumstances. In devotional service, however, there is no such considerations. Devotional service is transcendental to all considerations. And Prabhupada in his purport to that verse, he says, on the spiritual platform, he said, on the material platform, religion means, quoting Bhaktivinoda Thakur, religion means dharma, artha, kama, moksha. Religious practices mean religiosity, economic development, and material gain and ultimate liberation. But on the spiritual platform, the four principles are jnana, vijnana, taranga, and tat rahasya. Rules, regulations, and restrictions are on the material platform. But on the spiritual platform, one has to be equipped with transcendental knowledge. It is therefore the duty of every man in every country, in every circumstance, and at all times to approach the bona fide spiritual master, question him about devotional service, and listen to him explain the process. A person interested in transcendental knowledge must therefore always directly and indirectly inquire about it to know about the all-pervading truth. That was Prabhupada's translation here of this Etadaveda Vigyasam. And then finally, Krishnas Kaviraj Goswami, or rather Jiva Goswami, describes in Bhagavad Sandarbha. How is the secret described in the passage beginning Srimad Bhagavatam 2931 not understood, the rahasya? How is it that prema bhakti understood? The Supreme Personality of Godhead teaches the method of understanding it in the next verse, 36. Etaradevi gigyasam tatva vigyasanatmanam anvaya vyatarekavyam yat yat savatra savada. A person who is searching after the Supreme Absolute Truth, the Personality of Godhead, must constantly search for it up to this, in all circumstances, in all space and time, and both directly and indirectly. In this verse, the word Atmana means of me, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Tattva Vigyasana means desiring to understand the secret of pure love, which was from the previous verse. Jigyasyam means may be learned from the spiritual master, and anvayavyatarekabhyam means with the instructions to do certain acts and refrain from certain acts. This should be done in all circumstances and all space and time. So one should inquire from one's spiritual master about achieving prema bhakti. This is what one should be inquiring about from one's guru, and one shouldn't inquire about material things and how to achieve that. And then quotation from the second chapter of the second canto. For those who are wandering in the material universe, there is no more auspicious means of deliverance than what is aimed at the direct devotional service of the Lord, of Lord Krishna. Actions to be done and to be avoided are described in these words of the Bhagavatam. O King, it is therefore essential that every human being hear about, glorify, and remember the Supreme Lord, the Personality of Godhead, always and everywhere. So that is the essential message of the performance of sadhana. that one should always chant and hear about Krishna. This should be done, as said in the Srimad Bhagavatam 2936, in all circumstances, in all time and space. So even when the universe is being annihilated, even if you are a worm, a beast, even if you have material desires, even if you have no material desires, even if you have senses, even if you only have a leaf of fruit or water, even if you have all you have, you can only have a mind, you can offer things to Krishna in your mind. So in this way, all time and all space, and all, whether one is within the womb, when one is just at the moment of death, if one is young, one is old. So all this has been proved by Jiva Goswami and quoted by Prabhupada in the purport. In all times, sarvatra, sarvada, all places, one should glorify and hear about Krishna and serve Krishna. In this way, the Supreme Personality of Godhead teaches about jnana, vijnana, rahasya, and taranga in these four verses of Srimad Bhagavatam. Okay. Stop here. So that is the Chatusloki Bhagavatam. Gyan, Vigyan, and then Rahasyam, and Tarangam, the practices that will lead. Thank you very much, Hare Krishna. Any questions or comments? After all, we have 1 minute left. Tomorrow, Krishna gives us mercy, we'll finish the ninth chapter. Also a very nice ending where the Lord tells Brahma, now you take this that I've given you and you expand it so other people can hear and understand devotional service. Yeah.
That the sincere earnestness is the only qualification that can lead one to the highest perfectional stage of life. And unless and until such real earnestness is aroused, there is a difference between cleanliness or uncleanliness, learning or non-learning in a material estimation. Prior to that, I'm sure the Prophet was saying that one could be a fool or ill-trained or closely attached or anything. And still they could be elevated. But it seems like unless they have that earnestness, there's discrimination.
Yeah, but in any case, one can be elevated. And one has to be careful about those lesser principles until one has tatra loyam apimuyam ekalam. When one has deep greed, as Prabhupada practically quoted that verse in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, his explanation of it. He quoted it in English. But once when one has deep earnestness, then that automatically will carry one. But when one is not yet on that platform, one still has to do lesser things, but there are lesser considerations, but still one should engage in the process of devotional service. So one still has to keep clean, one still has to be regulated, one still has to do this, one still has to do that, but it is not an end in of itself anymore. It is just an aid to push us forward in devotion till we develop an attachment to Krishna. So even if one is not earnest, sincere, one should still chant Hare Krishna, and then one will get sincere and hear. Yeah, approaching and getting the proper understanding and following. Either a lot of association or not, one has to get trained by a spiritual master to surrender. Prabhupada himself didn't emphasize a lot of physical association, and he emphasized vani seva, serving the instructions more. That was his general emphasis. But yet, no one can deny the potency of association with a bona fide spiritual master and such an exalted personality. Otherwise, why would a Prabhupada just traveled all over the world? He traveled to give everyone his association, to keep it going, inspire everyone. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.